Attention this morning to the first chapter of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ. This is about revealing Jesus as the King of Kings, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Lord, we thank you today that we have this wonderful opportunity on this glorious Lord's Day to come and assemble ourselves together and worship you in spirit and in truth. To learn about you and your Son and your great love and mercy and grace for us. And Father, this morning as we come today, we ask that Jesus Christ be magnified and exalted, that the Holy Spirit might have free reign in each of our lives, and that everything that's said and done will be done for his honor and his glory. For it's in the precious and wonderful name of Jesus that we pray. Amen and amen. One morning, a old farmer was woke by his cuckoo clock, and it went off and it struck 13 times. And he jumped out of bed and threw the covers aside and began to yell for everybody to get up, because he said it's later than it's ever been. And you know, this morning as we live today and as we read the book of Revelation, we find that John said the time is at hand. And it's later this morning than really it's ever been. In John chapter number 9, as Jesus healed the man that was blind from birth, but in verse number 4, he said something to his disciples that this morning I think we ought to sometimes come to grip with. Because Jesus said, for the night cometh when no man worketh. He's saying that there's coming a day when our opportunity and our privilege will be taken away. Robert Murray McShane, a great preacher and missionary of days gone past, on his watch, on the face of it, had drawn a picture of a setting sun. And underneath the setting sun, he wrote these words, "For the night cometh." This morning we need to understand that time is a gift of God, precious and gracious and holy, valuable beyond any jewel or any possession that a man could ever have. For time is an endowment of God. You cannot buy it this morning. Queen Elizabeth, in the zenith of her power, probably one of the greatest queens to ever rule over the nation of England, and at the age of 70, as she was dying, she said, "I will give all my fortune for a moment of time." But all of our fortunes and all of our precious things that we acquire can never buy one moment of time. Because time is something that God gives us this morning. In the creation of God, it seems sometime that we need to understand how precious God was to us as humans this morning. The clod in the field and the ocean in its turbulence, the stars this morning in their courses have no sensibility of time. The beast of fields have no sensibility of time. You know, this morning when you think about the beast of the fields and you think today about the animals that we can think, and they have no concept of time. They don't know the difference between Monday and Sunday, between Saturday and Tuesday. My cats are standing there to be fed every day of the week. It doesn't matter if I want to sleep late or not. They have no concept of time. But you know, this morning, time is a thing today that when one day we'll come face to face of God. Time moves today and you cannot stop. You can never stop the movement of time. It's like the stars in their orbit. The planets that swing around the sun. Time today is something that we need to think about. But what is time? You know, that's a great question. If you look up the dictionary, it'll tell you that time this morning is something that measures events from the past through the future. It measures the duration of events and the intervals between them. What really is time? I tried to read some physicists and all of these today that are trying to decide what time really is. Charles Spurgeon said, "I know what it is unless someone asks me to explain it." Well, what is time? If I were to ask you today, what would you say that time was? Very difficult to really come to grips with it, isn't it? But many years ago, I was driving down the road and I was listening to the radio. And there was a black preacher that came on and was preaching. And as he was preaching in his sermon, he defined time. And I think it's probably the greatest definition that's ever been given. This black preacher said, "I'm going to tell you what time really is." He said, "Time is the doorway to eternity." Time is the doorway to eternity. Because when your time run out, you go into eternity. You know, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 10, verse number 6, that there will be a time when time will be no more. Time will be no longer. This morning, as we read here in John, Revelation chapter 1, it says to me something very clear, very wonderful today, and something we need to think about. And that is this morning, the urgency of time. The urgency of time. We need to think about that today. We need to be living in urgency because today is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. And John said, "The time is at hand." Eternity is calling, and we better get urgent in our lives. And the word urgent simply means to take a quick and swift action today. And we need to get urgent in our lives about this thing called time. I think sometimes we need to realize that we need to get right with God. Today, it's urgent. We need to take quick and swift action today. You know, if you get sick, you want urgent care. Many years ago, I worked with a man, and very rarely did he get sick. But one morning, he came to work, and he looked pretty bad. And he said, I feel awful. I feel terrible. And it, as the day went on, he began to feel worse. And finally, he said, I'm going to see Dr. Lawrence. And so about two or three days later, he came back to work. And I said, well, Willie, did you see Dr. Lawrence? What did he say? He said, man, I got in that office. He said, I went up there and I told that receptionist that I need to see Dr. Lawrence. And she said, well, it's going to be a while. You need to take a seat. And he said, ma'am, I'm too sick to sit down. He said, I can't sit in this office. She said, well, you're just going to have to wait. And he said, well, I'll just lay down on the floor over here till he can see me. And she said, you can't lay down on the floor. He said, I can't sit up. I got to lay down somewhere. And she said, well, you just come on back. He needed urgent care. He needed to take care of his sickness right then. He needed to see a doctor right then. Urgent. But you know, this morning we need to get urgent about our souls sometimes. Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 16, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Where he talks about the value of the soul, how that the entire world and all of its possessions, all of its gold and silver and platinum and precious stones and jewels and diamonds, all of its pleasures and power, and prestige, everything a man could gain and be the entire king of the entire world and have everything in his hands, if that would be possible today, does not compare to the value of your soul. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The value of your soul today is far beyond everything in this world. Everything. Doesn't matter how rich somebody is in money. Doesn't matter how powerful somebody is and how much prestige someone has. That does not even compare to the value of the soul. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Well, think about the vastness of that loss. People trade everything for their soul. But one day that soul is lost. And it's lost for all eternity. It's lost forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. I watched a movie the other day. It was a Western, and I always liked Western movies. I didn't even know what the name of it was for a while, but eventually the name of the movie was Purgatory. And in this particular movie, it had many of the old-time outlaws in the West, and they were here to be given a second chance, and if they could contain themselves for 10 years, then they'd get to go to heaven. I want to tell you, that's not the way it works, folks. When you die and you step through that doorway into eternity, when time for you is no more, your soul will be lost. Forever and forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. That's a vast loss. Down through the years, I'm sure that most of us have made some bad decisions. Sometimes in business, you make a bad decision. And you buy something that either doesn't work right, doesn't work out, and you lose money. But you know, eventually, you overcome that. Eventually, you begin to get past that hump because you made that bad decision, but you do something different. We make bad decisions in life, but we are able to overcome them. But I want to tell you, when you make a decision today for your soul to be lost, it'll never be overcome because it's lost forever. There is no second chance. The vastness of that loss. Last week I was talking to a gentleman that drives a school bus with me. And that morning he said he had to go to a funeral that afternoon and he wouldn't be there. And so the next day I was talking to him and I said, "Whose funeral did you go to?" And he called the name of the individual and said that he used to work, they worked together for many years, and he went to his funeral. He had had cancer, and he said another man came to the funeral who had been diagnosed with some form of cancer, and they'd only given him a few months to live. And he said, "You know, I don't know how he could come to that funeral knowing that he might be next." And I looked at him and I said, "Don, you might be next. I might be next. Hey, listen to me, folks. We don't know." Bruce told me this morning that Joe Suggs' wife found him dead in the bed this morning. Listen. We don't know. I might be next. You might be next. Urgent that we get right with God. We need to realize how urgent it is. You know, I remember when the tornado came through Smithville. And all night that night before and all during the day, the tornado sirens were going off. Big deal. Big deal. Who cares? Wish that thing had quit waking me up. I think sometimes that's the way people do the gospel. Big deal. Big deal. Wish that preacher quit waking me up. But I want to tell you something. When I heard them 100 freight trains coming, it got pretty urgent. Desi was standing in the road behind the shop. I remember I was talking to Bruce or Ellis, and I don't know what happened to the phone right at that point in time. I heard it. I was hollering at her, come on, come on. Why? Boy, it done got urgent. We had to get somewhere and find some shelter. Now listen to me, folks. Sometimes folks just kind of let the gospel do like water on a duck's back, and it's just, you better understand something. It's an urgent thing to be right with God this morning. Jesus said the time was at hand. I don't know this morning when the Lord's coming back. I don't know this morning when the trumpet will sound. And neither does anybody else. I don't know when the golden bells will ring and God will ask me to step through that doorway into eternity. I have no idea when. I don't know if some point in time that I'll lose my ability to understand. We have this thing called Alzheimer's and how horrible that is. But I don't know, and hopefully my prayer that I'll never be in that shape, but I don't know. But I want to be right with God before any of that happens, before Jesus comes, before God asks me to step through the doorway of eternity, before I lose my ability to reason and understand. Several years ago, I pastored a church and had a dear lady in the church, and this dear lady was going to have surgery, and I went by the hospital to see her for a moment. And she was sitting on the side of the bed reading the Bible. And she handed it to me and said, would you finish reading that chapter? And I read the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, one of my favorite chapters in all of the Bible. And after we finished and I talked to her for a moment, and she said, I don't know exactly what the doctors are going to do. She said, I guess they'll just go in there and do whatever they do. But she said, I know one thing. She said, no matter what happens, no matter what happens, I know Jesus. When I was 10 years old, I fell in love with him and he became my Savior and he's been with me ever since. So preacher, no matter what happens, you understand, I'm okay. She was right with God. Urgent. Get right with God. Get right with man. Over in the book of Matthew, Jesus said that if your brother have aught against you, don't bring your gift to the altar. Go and get right with your brother. And then come to the altar. Get rid of all your bitterness and your anger and your dislike. If we really want to worship God today, we got to get right with our brothers and our sisters. We got to get right with those around us. I think sometimes the reason our worship is so weak is we allow other things to enter into our lives and it wrecks havoc with our relationship with God. Several years ago, I used to do some work for a place and One week I had to go to Atlanta and teach some classes over there, and somebody else took over the job. And they went to this particular place, and he told me later, I said, well, how'd it go? And he said, well, I got through, and I was standing out front talking to the lady and said, a pickup pass. And I said, well, that's so-and-so. And she said, yeah, that's my brother. And he said, well, he's a pretty nice fella. And she said, I hope he has a wreck before he gets home and dies and burns in hell. I said, what'd you say? He said, I got my truck and went home. Listen, I knew the people. And that was exactly, there was some friction. How in the world can you worship God that way? How can you live that way with that dislike and that anger and that bitterness in your life? Hey, life's too short. Life's too short to be bitter and anger and have dislike and have all that friction and you can't get along with each other. I told my kids they didn't have to anything to worry about fighting over an inheritance, me and their mother spending every dime of it. Hey, didn't take long either. Listen to me. I've seen families. I've seen people, churches, because people couldn't get along with each other. How sad that is. We really need to worship God. Jesus said, hey, you can't worship me till you get that right. We need to get right with the Lord. We need to get right with our brothers and our sisters, those around us this morning. We need to do service for God right now. Someone once asked D.L. Moody, how do you move continents for God? He said, one person at a time. You know, I don't know, we live in days and moral corruption. We live in days of horrible crime, and we live in times of political unrest. The Middle East is a powder keg about ready to explode. But you know, we still serve God. Daniel served God this morning in Babylon. We find this morning that as we read through the scripture, Joseph served God down in Egypt. No matter where we are, we can do service for God. That's all the Lord expects of us, is to do for him what he wants done right now, right here in this place, in this time. I read something the other day and I thought, how this really is so true, and how sometimes we need to understand this. This gentleman wrote, we are now faced with the fact, my friends, that tomorrow is today. We are confronted with the fierce urgency of now and this unfolding time of life and history. There is such a thing as being too late. Procrastination is still the thief of time. It often leaves us standing bare, naked, and dejected with lost opportunity. The tide in the affairs of men does not remain. We may cry out desperately for time to pause in her passage, but time is a matter to every plea and rushes on. Over the bleached bones and jumbled residues of numerous tombstones and civilizations are written the pathetic words, too late, too late, too late. Why do I want to stand before God and hear him say, too late, too late, too late. Today is the day the Lord has made. Today is the gift that God has given to us. And we need to live this morning in the urgency of today, the urgency of time, and understand the time is at hand. But there will be a day when time will be no longer. And God can say, too late, too late. Too late. What do you need to do today? What do you need to do this morning? That's the question before you right now. All right, we'll stand together with me, Brother Bruce, Peter, and Barbara. Come. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the wonderful day that you've given us. Lord, we pray this morning that we'll use it to honor and glorify you. This morning we'll live in the urgency of the now. And know that it's now. May Lord, you bless this message and use it in Jesus' name.